is SB Nation Radio.
The next generation of sports radio.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home?
This is Nate in the Noise.
What I'm about to do, it doesn't make any sense. It's not logical. It is a gut feeling.
Live from the Quick and Loan Studios in Denver, here's your hosts, Sean Drotar and Nate Lundy.
It is a Football Friday with you, Nate Lundy, Sean Drotar, SB Nation Radio. Thank you for being here, being a part of the program. Plenty of football to be able to talk about. College football, we'll do that coming up bottom of the hour. Also, NFL continuing to review and preview everything that we have seen last night, and more importantly, what we didn't see last night, as well as previewing going through the upcoming schedule for Sunday and Monday. As always, we will sit back on the program, and we will be degenerate gamblers, and Sean and I will analyze the game schedule and do so against the spreads and pick winners. I didn't keep track of how we did last week, which is probably a good thing, because we probably would have failed miserably, if I had to guess. You're arguing with your computer right now. What are you doing right now?
I don't know. I'm trying to get my mouse to work.
That's what she said. If what? We roll
that doesn't
through,
even make sense.
If we roll through morning and completely obliterate your favorite team, well, then we apologize in advance.
No, speaking, he doesn't.
Speaking of obliterating your favorite team, our producer Ron. So Sean and I sit in the SB Nation and Mile High Sports Radio studios of Denver. Okay, Ron is in Houston. Ron's in Tejas, in Houston. So, Ron, are any of the Texans fans currently on suicide watch?
Of course.
That they just completely realized that
they've closed the
that they
bridges
pooped,
in Houston.
That they pooped the bed for the second time with high expectations in New England. They pooped it. They just pooped. I mean, walked up, pooped. And went home. Pretty much that's what happened. So they've closed the bridges in Houston to try to keep the Texans fans from freaking out. Okay.
They shouldn't be. They're 2-1.
No, but last night we all found out the Texans suck.
I love how just definitive that is. They're like, nope,
yeah.
Nope.
So anyway, we were...
Nope, went on the road to New England. They're garbage.
There
just
we were,
garbage.
There we were thinking we were great, and then we realized we sucked.
You let a third-string rookie quarterback on a short week make you look like the Cleveland Browns.
It's not a great look. But fortunately, they play.
Made them look like the Cleveland Browns?
Did you see that?
Ouch!
Defense? That defense didn't do anything yesterday.
They did not.
Bill Belichick is very good at shutting down J.J. Watt.
I'm the Texans, that's what I'm worried about, is the defense didn't do anything. Getting beat, that's one thing. The defense not doing anything, that would be what I'd be nervous about, Ron.
I mean, yeah, no, you know, we can all put it on the special teams for just coughing up the ball inside the 20-yard line every time they got it. But
it's not good either.
Yeah, but, I mean, we're supposed to have a good defense this year, right? I mean, wasn't that the rumor?
Well, that was the rumor. There's a lot of rumors.
I know, but, I mean, they just looked... there was no heart. They did not play. They didn't travel. They put other people in different uniforms. They saved some money. They just grabbed some people in Boston off the street. Said, "Here, put these white uniforms on. You're going to pretend you're the Texans."
Oh, so they did the same thing that the New England Patriots did at quarterback.
Dude, would you
walked down the street?
Stop that?
Yes, but they found a better athlete.
Walked down the streets and were like, "Hey, you're doing anything on Thursday night?"
Brisket. Be nice.
Brisket.
You've made fun of this poor guy all week, and what does he go out? He goes out and he like lays waste to the Texans. Lays waste.
Jacoby Brissett, with the exception of when Jacoby Brissett, yeah. Unless something happens to Jimmy Garoppolo, okay? Jacoby Brissett will not start another game in the NFL the rest of his life.
Whoa. Wow.
I'm saying he's starting next week. I don't think
unless they need him one more week because of Garoppolo.
I don't think Garoppolo starts next week.
So, okay, well, then I'll give you this. After next week, then, Jacoby Brissett will not start another game in the NFL the rest of his life.
This season.
The rest of his life.
No.
He's not a starting quarterback in the NFL,
no
Ron.
You're the guy, Nate, that says all the time that we don't know what they'll be.
Brady. Excuse me?
He will be the one. He will be the one to replace Brady when Brady hangs it up.
No, he won't.
I actually think it's possible that you're right, Ron. I do, because I don't think, look, Garoppolo is going to go do the Matt Castle thing. He's going to go get the big check from somebody who thinks that he's the real deal and then accidentally finds out, uh-oh, he just was really good as a backup on the Patriots, like Matt Castle was. And I don't know, maybe Garoppolo is good, but we thought the exact same thing about Castle. This is the Patriots can just grab guys and they can succeed a quarterback. I thought Brissett played well. He didn't have to dazzle. It's not like he was amazing. Like he put up great stats, but he did what he needed to do in his first start on a short week. Like Ron mentioned, I was pretty impressed. We don't know what these guys will be. You don't know. Brissett looks like he could be pretty good.
Highlight of my morning so far on Twitter was someone who said Bill Belichick could take Jamarcus Russell and win 10 games.
Oh. Ooh.
I believe it.
Yes. You should believe it.
The hot takes are a-flying.
You should believe it. And I'd pay to watch that, by the way. You should believe it. Has Matt Castle done anything without... since leaving the Patriots?
Nothing of significance.
What team is he even on right now? Does anyone even know?
I don't...
I mean, he was supposed to be the next great thing. We don't even know where he is.
No. He's with the Titans.
You think that. He's in Canada.
No, he's with the Titans. Tennessee's not as close to Canada as you might think. He is pure evil. And yet he's brilliant. Bill Belichick, I said it earlier this morning, I'm going to say it again. Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of the NFL. And there have been a lot of really great coaches in the NFL. But if you made me rank them, which I've always believed is a futile argument in sports, whether we're talking about coaches or players, but if you asked me who the best has been, it's Bill Belichick. J.J. Watt is one of the most dynamic players in the NFL, offensively or defensively. And Bill Belichick shuts him down every time he plays him. He completely neutralizes him. If J.J. Watt is a raging fire, Bill Belichick pees on the fire and puts it out every time. And makes him a non-factor.
Belichick is a genius about finding a way to...
He did all of this on a short week.
...take a specific player out of your game. That's the one thing. He's like the guy that you're playing golf with that just sneaks a club out of your bag. And you wonder why your round went bad. Right. And then you realize, hey, wait, where'd my 5-iron go?
It's like, gosh, he's
the guy cackling over. He's like, ha.
I did that entire round without my 7.
Yeah. Well,
no wonder I stink.
Sorry, Nate. I took that. I thought it'd be kind of entertaining, so I grabbed it.
We're on to the back 9. In 2012, the Houston Texans were 11-1 to start the year. It's the best record, obviously, in the AFC. They were 11-1. They went on the road to New England, and they promptly lost 42-10. 11-1, lost 42-10. That's the flashback that's happening for Texans fans right now. And back then, they were 12 games into the season, as opposed to 2. the amazing stat last night that Sean brought up earlier this morning? After all of that, the final score was 27-0. They blitzed Brock Osweiler once.
One time.
Once the entire game. And still completely shut them down. There's your number one seed in the AFC. 11 minutes after the hour, Nate Lundy, Sean Drotar, SB Nation Radio.
Is Nate and the Noise.
By the way, if my phone was going to go off one more time yesterday with an injury update.
Oh, just a few. Jimmy Garoppolo, Adrian Peterson, Doug Martin, DeMarcus Ware, Thomas Rawls, Dante Moncrief, Jonathan Stewart, Arian Foster, Danny Woodhead, Doug Baldwin, Ziggy Ansah, Amir Abdullah, Josh McCown.
It just kept happening over and over and over again with alerts.
It's like a bad 80s movie.
You don't win in the NFL, you survive.
Tune in to hear Nate and the Noise every weekday from 10 to noon on SB Nation Radio. This is Nate and the Noise.
Bill Foley, who is the owner of the expansion NHL team that will be in Las Vegas, has admitted in an interview that he trademarked a bunch of phony names just for fun. He's filed numerous trademark applications, which include the Desert Hawks, the Red Hawks, the Night Hawks, the Desert Knights, the Silver Knights, and the Golden Knights.
How about the Silver Desert Golden Night Hawks?
Yes. Ranging from aces to blackjacks to scorpions to snapping turtles to crappers. Think about the headlines you could have if your team was named the Crappers.
That's like your dream team name. You would have such a field day with that.
Vegas sends one down the crapper again. The flagship radio station could be KRAP. Come on, this stuff writes itself.
That I like.
101.5, all crap all the time.
Playing the same crap you'd expect.
Tune in to hear Nate and the Noise every weekday from 10 to noon on SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to Nate and the Noise.
Nate Lundy, Sean Drotar, SB Nation Radio. Our segment brought to you by Mental Bright. You want to improve your mental focus and concentration? Mental Bright's a brain supplement that can help. Go to mentalbright.com to learn more. That's mentalbright.com, B-R-I-G-H-T. Ralph Russo from the Associated Press will join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk something of the college football coming up tomorrow. I didn't even look. What happened last night? I didn't look.
Oh, in the Clemson Georgia Tech game?
Yeah.
What do you think happened?
Want
to take a guess?
I'm going to go with, Bill Belichick showed up.
No.
And I figured
the score was pretty close, though.
Clemson probably took care of them.
26-7, Clemson won in Atlanta.
In
for the first time since 2002.
Nice.
So the number five team in the country rolls along after beating Georgia Tech with relative ease. Clemson now 4-0. Georgia Tech 3-1. Deshaun Watson, 304 yards, two touchdowns, 32 for 48 passing. Efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Smooth.
Nice.
And one of the best names in college football, Clemson receiver Ray McCloud.
Ooh, good one. Yes,
I with 101 yards receiving.
I agree with that one. Ray McCloud. Good one. All right.
Tonight you have 24 Utah hosting USC in a Pac-12 matchup that involves top 25 teams.
All right. Just checking.
And then tomorrow there's some goodness. Alabama, Kent State is not one of them. But
no.
There are good games. There's
going to be some bad games, and then there's going to be some that you go, okay, yeah, I'll have a little bit of intrigue in that one. Obviously, the Big Ten matchup is in there. All that's there.
Yeah, met Barry Alvarez on earlier this week. It was Wisconsin Badgers take on Michigan State and ascendant Michigan State.
So let's talk about DUIs.
Well, that's a lot less fun.
One of the linemen for the University of Texas was stopped for a DUI this morning at 4:54 a.m. Now, the University of Texas is on a bye week. They don't get back into action again until next weekend. So, I can understand maybe you're deciding to, take a break with your friends. It's probably kind of nice to get out on a bye week like that. What are you doing at 4:54 in the morning? Hashtag college, right? Kent Perkins is his name. He's the starting offensive, one of the starting offensive linemen. 4:54 a.m. The 104.9 The Horn in Austin radio station got a hold of the booking report from Travis County. 4:54 in the morning. I mean, again, college. But, you know, I've been to Austin. They have Uber. I've been there. Used to live there. I've seen it. Starting offensive lineman. So you get that one. Okay. College being college. And then we get word this morning that Austin Seferian Jenkins, tight end, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, was also arrested.
Roughly 5 in the morning.
5 in the morning. Okay. 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm sorry. 4 o'clock, according to Schefter. Oh, because that 1 hour makes a difference.
Oh, 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock in the morning.
I'm sorry. He was being booked at the police station in the 5 o'clock hour.
So, 4 a.m., ASJ gets stopped by the Florida Highway Patrol. He'd gotten onto I-275 near State Road 60. It was a 55-mile-an-hour zone. He was going somewhere in the neighborhood of 80. He was weaving back and forth. He executed an improper lane change. Now, he refused the breathalyzer test at the county jail. This on the heels of the fact that he was charged with this back in 2013 as well.
We live in the future now, guys. Like, get on your phone, call a car service, or, you know, they've had taxis for the last about 85 years.
I'm telling you right now, he's going to wind up getting cut. They've got a decent tight end in Cameron Brate.
They do.
And as pointed out by ESPN, Jenna Lane points this out. She reminds us all that on the final day of OTAs back in June, Dick Cutter actually kicked him out of practice for, quote, not knowing what he was doing, unquote.
You don't hear that very often. Yikes.
He was kicked out for not knowing what he was doing, which apparently was also what was happening at 4 a.m. this morning. Now, we've all made mistakes. We've all been stupid. I get that. Usually, though, once you've been stupid once, you know, it's kind of a, you know, shame on you, shame on me analogy, right?
Yeah.
You,
the first one is a mistake. The second one is just dumb.
Right. I'm just...
Learn from the things you do wrong. Learn from the mistakes.
Well, that's just that, you know, now you're just asking for the world, aren't you?
I didn't think so, but apparently.
So there you go. There's your couple of news and notes from this morning, both of them involving DUIs. One of them with the starting offensive guard for the Texas Longhorns, and the other for Austin Seferian Jenkins, tight end with the Bucks. This is me just shaking my head. You're doing this to annoy me, aren't you?
What?
I can see the computer that you're on right now.
It has the Oregon Ducks uniforms.
And you're looking at the Oregon Ducks uniform
that actually look
duck
like
mascot.
Ducks. They actually look like ducks.
You're doing it just to annoy me, aren't you? Aren't you?
No. I was reading the Washington Post, and they might have had the best opening line I've read in sports in a while. Where the Oregon football team has pulled off a lot of crazy stuff with its uniforms, but at least it's resisted dressing its players like actual ducks until now.
Aren't there a couple other teams, though, that are about to do this? That also have had uniforms designed that look like whatever their mascot is. Yeah. This is like a thing. I'm gonna have to find this.
So
somebody else is doing it.
What do you do if you're Stanford? Do you dress yourselves in a big green prickly outfit?
You just look like a tree?
Yeah.
Ralph Russo joining us next. We'll talk some college football with him, some good games and some bad ones on the schedule tomorrow. He joins us coming up. It's 26 after. Nate Lundy, Sean Drotar, SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation Radio.
Hand off Elliott, right up the middle, cuts to the right, to the goal line. Zeke Elliott's first NFL touchdown.
The next generation of sports radio.
This is Jerry Jones, and you're listening to SB Nation Radio.
SB Nation is powered by Berryman B12 Chemtool, the good stuff.
Two after, Nate Lundy, Sean Drotar, SB Nation Radio. Thank you for being here. It's a Football Friday. Not just for those of you figuring out your fantasy squad for NFL, thinking to yourself, but I started Gronkowski. Yeah, all of those things. Yeah, all those things come after you. I get it. From the Associated Press, though, to talk about the action that will be taking place primarily tomorrow. Ralph Russo joins us on Twitter at Ralph D. Russo AP. If you want to keep track of what's going on with college football, he joins us on the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Hotline. Ralph, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing well. Last week, obviously, the excitement of the Louisville-Florida State game. It feels like right now we've got the best game on the schedule, Wisconsin-Michigan State. Let's start there. Your thoughts, Michigan State's going to be at home, but the Big Ten looking very good so far early on here in the season. Give me an early prediction on this one.
Yeah, certainly the Big Ten East. You know, we just keep, and I'm one of them, everybody just keeps underestimating Michigan State and thinking, well, eventually they'll slide in behind Harbaugh and Urban Meyer and just sort of go back to being, you know, sort of an afterthought because Ohio State and Michigan take up so much of the oxygen in that room. I like Michigan State in this particular game. I mean, Wisconsin's got that nice opening win against LSU, but I think there's still some question of whether that was more about LSU being dysfunctional and Wisconsin being particularly good. Wisconsin just still trying to figure out its offense. It's going to start Hornibrook at quarterback instead of Bart Houston. But I'm not sure if that's like necessarily a great answer. You know, Michigan State looked pretty darn good against Notre Dame, but I would say this also. Wisconsin's another team that tends to get overlooked and underestimated. So, but I would think Michigan State looks like the more balanced team right now.
I want to stay in the top 10, but not look at one of those matchups where teams are playing each other. I want to look at Stanford going into the Rose Bowl to play UCLA. Stanford unbeaten, ranked 7th in the country. UCLA has lost a game, but they have a very interesting offense, including a pretty explosive passing offense led by Josh Rosen. He's thrown for almost 1,000 yards already this season. Stanford has looked good, but they haven't looked dominant, even with Christian McCaffrey having a good year. It's not the same kind of season we saw last year. What does Stanford need to do to make sure they don't have a letdown? Because the UCLA offense is the kind that might be able to spring up and beat you every once in a while here.
Oh yeah, listen. I UCLA's been, they've been productive offensively. And you're right, Rosen could end up being a guy who ends up, who could be the first overall pick in the draft. Not this year; he's only a sophomore. But next year, the thing is, Stanford has dominated this rivalry. Excuse me. They've won the last 8 games, and they've not just won them, but they've really pushed UCLA around. It's just been a bad matchup physically. Somehow UCLA has to get some of that back. Now, UCLA played really well against the run last week against BYU. Didn't have a great offensive production, but they threw for 300 yards. And they shut BYU down in the running game. They only get allowed about 25 yards. So maybe that's the place where you look at UCLA and say, all right, maybe this team's a little different. Maybe the run defense is a little better. You're not going to totally bottle up McCaffrey, but if you can slow him down. Last year, they just got run over by McCaffrey and Stanford. I think it comes down to Rosen and stopping the run a little bit. But again, it's been such a dominant series for Stanford, and they really just have, not just beaten UCLA, but punished them, and it makes you question UCLA's toughness. That's what UCLA has to prove in this game, that they're tough enough to beat Stanford.
When you look at the SEC, some great matchups coming up on the schedule tomorrow. Arkansas and A&M obviously will be there in prime time. But I'm curious, Ralph, your thoughts on the matchup between Georgia and Ole Miss. I mean, Ole Miss sitting there ranked in the top 25 despite having a losing record here so far. But at home, is this something that Ole Miss can get done in Oxford?
I think so. Ole Miss hasn't beaten Georgia. Speaking of long losing streaks, it's 10 games, but because they don't play every year, it dates back to 1997. So maybe not quite so relevant because Ole Miss wasn't great for a lot of those years. It should be a lot of points. Ole Miss's defense has been pretty bad. They got run over by Alabama last week, over 300 yards. Florida State obviously had that big comeback. The offense is excellent with Kelly. They're really explosive. I think for Georgia, this is the game to really get Nick Chubb going. He's been very good. This is a chance for him to be great. I think that Ole Miss does get this done. You're asking Georgia to win a second straight SEC road game. They won at Missouri last week with a freshman quarterback in Jacob Eason, who's going to be terrific. But, again, it just seems like that's a lot to ask of him. And it's a lot to ask of Georgia to really clamp down on that Ole Miss offense. But it's weird, though. Ole Miss could be sitting there as the best 1-3 team in the country, having lost to Alabama, Florida State, and Georgia, three teams that will probably all be in the top 15.
We watched Florida State absolutely get their doors blown off by Louisville last week. They're a little bit wobbly right now. Jimbo Fisher is now shuffling their offensive line around, and it seems maybe like a no-brainer, but they now face a South Florida team in Tampa that actually just beat Syracuse last week, and they have an interesting squad. They have four different running backs that have had more than basically 18 carries, and they're averaging almost 6 yards a carry. This is a team that actually slows the game down and basically eats up a lot of the clock. Given a Florida State team that definitely wants to make a statement that they are legitimate, that was a blip, sometimes you see those teams play tight. What do you think Florida State will do? Is this no problem, or is there a real risk for them here?
No, I think there's a real risk for them here. USF is an under-the-radar team that is very talented. Willie Taggart has got the vision of what people thought USF could be is, hey, listen, there's a zillion football players down in Florida. If you could just get some guys to stay local and go to Tampa, even if they're not the number one guys, you can make a heck of a team out of the twos and threes, you know, the second and third best players coming out of that area. And that's essentially what USF has going now. Listen, the testament, I think, of a great coach is how his team bounces back after not just a bad loss, but a really disappointing loss. If you're you come out of that Florida State game last week, if you're the Seminoles thinking, like, where is our season going? You know, we were a national championship contender, and are we still? So this is going to be, listen, Jimbo Fisher is one of the best coaches in the country. There's no doubt about that. But this is going to be a Jimbo Fisher game. This is going to be how you get your team refocused and prepared to play a serious team when maybe they don't look so serious and play them on the road. This is a tricky spot. Josh Sweat, the big defensive end, who's one of the better players on Florida State defense, he's not going to play. That means they're going to be down Derwin James and Josh Sweat. There's a lot rolling against Florida State here. So I think, again, this game is on Jimbo Fisher. They should still be able to win this game, but do you have your team's attention? Do you still have a team believing that it has a reason to play at a high level this season? Because they're going to need to do that on Saturday.
Great stuff from the Associated Press. Ralph Russo talking college football with us. You find him on Twitter at Ralph D. Russo AP. Ralph, appreciate the time this morning. Enjoy the games.
Thanks, guys.
Joined us on the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Hotline last year. Over 3 million drivers switched to Progressive. Call or click to find out how much you could save. Our segment also brought to you by Wrangler Advanced Comfort Jeans. New styles, great fits. Try on a pair today. Wrangler, real comfortable jeans.
Well, now we know we're looking at the way college football spread around. He talked about how South Florida is doing what they're doing by going ahead and reaching out to local guys. It's been a great equalizer, the television world. And so now we see every weekend, there's always a couple upsets. There's always a game you don't expect. Somebody pops up and grabs a star team, a top team, knocks them off. It's going to happen again this week. The only question is to who.
It'll happen. Just a matter of when. I'm also fascinated by the A&M Arkansas game as well. Arkansas hasn't played an SEC game yet. This is going to be a good one. With Sean Drotar, I'm Nate Lundy. It's a Football Friday on SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to Nate and the Noise.
48 after, Nate Lundy, Sean Drotar, SB Nation Radio. Thanks to Ralph Russo, the Associated Press, joining us in the last segment. Talk a little college football with you. The NBA has decided they want to crack down on, quote, unnatural acts, unquote.
I'm sorry? What?
The NBA wants to crack down on, quote, unnatural acts, unquote.
Well, further information is needed, Mr. Lundy.
Kicks to the groin.
Ah.
League officials saying they're going to pay more attention to traveling as well.
Oh, sure they are. I needed that. Thank you.
Oh, man. You know what?
That's made my day already.
I haven't laughed like that in so... Oh,
traveling.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
You have an entire generation of players that doesn't know what that call actually is.
We're going to pay attention to traveling and to kicks to the junk. I want to know how it must have felt to be Adam Silver up on a podium yesterday saying,
as we get ready for the league year, we've already addressed with the teams and with the Players Association, thing we've seen throughout football with players that are showing their displeasure with various protests, silent or otherwise, with the national anthem. We continue to work closely with the Daily Fantasy community, and we also have had a conversation with our officials about players' junk. And trying to avoid having junk be such a topic of conversation. We really just want our players to play, to be safe,
and to be able to eventually have children. Those that don't already have six or seven. We also are going to pay attention to traveling. That's the point at which every reporter in the room was like, yeah, okay, whatever, Adam, we're done. And they left. It had to have been. The moment you're going to pay, you're going to look at traveling in the NBA. Traveling, right? We're talking about the same thing, right, Adam? Traveling?
Sure you are.
Right.
Sure you are.
LeBron James could tuck the ball under his arm like LeGarrette Blunt and run from one free throw line to the other, and they wouldn't call it.
Michael Jordan did that his whole career. As long as it finished with a dunk, they didn't care. Five, six, seven steps, whatever. Just jump up and do a fancy dunk. Yay!
Coaches are concerned that players are taking too many steps after being run off the three-point line by a defender. No bleep, Sherlock!
Welcome
you
to the NBA.
You just now realized this? Hits to the groin will also get more attention this season. After Draymond Green.
Yeah, that can't be a strategy. I mean, we're talking about flopping as a problem, but I'm pretty sure just... Look, even in boxing, that's not okay. And that's a sport where your job is to punch the other guy.
Joe Borgia, who is the NBA Senior Vice President of Replay and Referee Operations, said, quote, "Now all of a sudden legs are coming out in different directions at weird times. They're coming in higher. Well, for the protection of the players, we're going to stop it."
Legs are coming in from weird directions.
Hold on, hold on. Now all of a sudden, this is a direct quote. Now all of a sudden legs are coming out in different directions at weird times. They're coming in higher.
A lot of this stemmed, actually, in the NBA, when you think about it, from the way to draw offensive fouls, basically cause offensive fouls and draw a defensive foul. Kobe Bryant and Carmelo Anthony really were the two biggest culprits, guys that would take a jump shot and kick their front leg out dramatically, far more than a normal shooting motion. They did the same thing you'd expect. Oh, it's just the way I shoot. No, it's not. It's not the way you shot when you were in college, if you're Carmelo Anthony. It's not the way you shot when you first came into the league. If you're Kobe Bryant,
go back to highlights of Draymond Green in high school and college. Whatever. Somebody go find him. Somebody press play on YouTube and tell me if he's kicking dudes in the junk while he's taking shots. No, he isn't. He's doing it because he could get away with it.
Right. And nobody in the NBA wants to call an offensive foul. They never do. They don't like doing it. And I don't know why, but they don't like doing it.
Because they don't want to slow down the game. At the end of the day,
it doesn't slow it down any more than a defensive foul. In fact, it's faster because it often doesn't result in shots.
At the end of the day, this is an entertainment business.
Oh, yeah, they just want highlights. They want highlight plays. Sure. There's a reason the NFL doesn't get rid of the chains. In the NFL, do you really need the chains to come? No. But you do because it's dramatic. That's why it's there. You don't need it. You're going to tell me that somewhere along the line, the referee who spots a football, which, not to put too fine a point on it, essentially boils down to the referee going, "Where's the ball? Where was the ball?" And the guy goes, "About here," sets it on the ground, and then comes out with chains, which, by the way, you try to walk out in place again in the exact same spot and say, yep, one chain link. It was ahead by that. Had to be a first down. So it's an arbitrary spot measured by inaccurate equipment. And it's supposed to be taken as gospel. Well, it's silly. The reason they do it is it's dramatic. There's ways to change it so it was better and more accurate. You could do that at any time. But it's drama. And the NBA likes its drama as much as anybody. So Kobe Bryant and Carmelo Anthony kicking guys in generally the thigh area to try to draw a foul has now evolved into guys like Draymond Green deciding, why aim for the thigh? I'll just go a little bit to the right or left, and then the guy won't guard me closely for the rest of the game.
Junk.
It's weak.
Hitting them in the junk. It's a Football Friday with you. We're talking about junk. Not practice. Not a game. We're talking about junk. That's Sean Drotar. I'm Nate Lundy on our flagship here in Denver, Mile High Sports Radio. Sports Guy Mike coming up next. For Sean and I, we roll on with you nationally, SB Nation Radio. Stick around.